You know, there was something that occurred to me that made me almost giggle a little bit during that first song. When I handed Danny the clicker, it didn't dawn on me that he'd never seen that song before. And then I began to remember how confusing it is to the guy who's changing the slides that you... When you've got so many repeats in a song and you can't remember, is that the one we just sang or is that the one I'm supposed to change to that we're about to sing? And so, Danny, you get a blue ribbon tonight because you did a good job with the slides. Even though those first two songs were probably brand new to you. Tonight, we're still talking about drawing near to God, getting connected. Getting connected is our theme for this year. We've talked about getting connected with our church family, with our young people, with our senior saints, and now we're talking about getting connected with God the Father. And we talked about several things last week from the fourth chapter of the book of James, and we're looking at James chapter 4 still tonight, but focusing on verse 8, which says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you, as we think about strengthening our connection with God the Father. Now, we talked a little bit last week about the fact that coming to God in initial obedience to the gospel is a prerequisite of everything that we're talking about now. There is no such thing as strengthening our connection with God until we make that initial connection through obedience to the gospel. As we think about this subject in the general context of how we as God's children need to strengthen our connection with Him. Did you notice how many times in this morning's lessons, both Sunday school class and the sermon, how many times Mitch used the word connect and connecting and connected, talking about the importance of connecting together, connecting back with one another, especially in the sense of post-COVID. Don't you love these new words that have become reality in our vocabulary? As we look at our post-COVID world, the church is concerned, and rightfully so, about some who seem to have lost the desire to stay connected with the church family. And Mitch stated this morning, I hope you caught it, that one of the missions that they feel that needs to be carried out on the part of Faulkner University is to promote the reconnecting together of God's people. And, you know, maybe you were thinking when you heard something like that, well, I've heard that before. But I hope you also noticed that... Am I? Okay, I'm on. I hope you also noticed that everything that he said gave emphasis to the fact that we don't want to just be connected again. We want to be connected in those ways and through the avenue that God has laid out in His Word. And that is of utmost importance to us. So tonight, let's think a little bit more about the strengthening of our connection with God the Father. And as James tells us here in chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. One of the things that we just kind of brushed over last Sunday night was the reciprocal principle that is involved in this. And remember I told you about that old song that was popular when I was a kid? And the first line went, honey, if you want me to be closer to you, get closer to me. Well, essentially, That phrase, that sentence has been borrowed from Scripture because that's what God told His people all throughout the Old Testament. For example, we can turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And there we find that if you know a little bit about the context of 2 Chronicles chapter 15, it actually is taking place in a fairly good time. The subject is the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah. And in this discussion of the history of God's people, there is even a reference to the fact that under the leadership of King Asa and the things that he did, a lot of people fled the northern kingdom of Israel and came to the southern kingdom of Judah. But what I want us to focus in on is what it says there in verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. Now, Azariah was a prophet. And Azariah went out and met Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with Him." The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now, in New Testament terminology, what the prophet there is saying, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. If we will serve God, He will be with us. And that's exactly what Judah was doing at this particular time. They had been victorious over the Egyptians. They had been victorious over the northern kingdom of Israel. And now the prophet comes to the king, and it's as though he's giving him an encouraging message. And he says, keep going the way you are, because as long as you are with God, He will be with you. Now, this is not the only time in the Old Testament that we find this stated in such plain and clear terms. It's also in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 3. It was said again by Malachi, quoting what God had said in chapter 3. In fact, probably the last page in your Bible of the Old Testament record, Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, where God said, "Return to me and I will return to you." And so we need to understand that this business of becoming and drawing nearer to God is a reciprocal thing. God longs to bless His people. Somebody says, "Well, I thought God blessed everybody." He does. Isn't that what Jesus said? God sends the rain on the just and the unjust, causes the sun to rise on the good and the evil as well. There are certain blessings. The air that we breathe, the sunshine, the beauties of nature all around us, everybody gets benefit of those things. But throughout the pages of the record of Scripture, from almost the very beginning of God's conversations with mankind, He's always said, "If you serve me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will destroy you." And so this reciprocal arrangement that James tells us about here in James chapter 4 is not something new. It's been the principle upon which God has operated with mankind from the very beginning. And so now He tells us to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I think we could say that probably this verse gives us the greatest benefit in words that we could ever have. God's drawing near to us. That's a tremendous blessing. That's a tremendous benefit. That's something that we don't even possess the words to describe the entire length and depth of. The very idea that God will draw near to us. There are two or three things that we could think of in regard to that principle. We don't want to get sidetracked away from what I've got. I've got about 40 minutes worth. I didn't preach this morning, so you know, I'm behind. I don't want to get sidetracked, but you know, there are some things that come to mind when we think about what a great benefit it is for God to be near to us. In fact, sometimes we even forget that God has promised to draw near to us in the face of loss and hardship and difficulty. Sometimes the old devil works in such a way that he distracts us away from the fact that God has promised to be near to us, even in our difficulties, even in our hardship, even as we suffer. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So there are a lot of things that we could talk about insofar as the nearness of God and how important that principle is. But I've got a couple of other things I want us to look at as we focus in on this subject. And, you know, I think maybe last week, maybe the week before, we talked about some of the songs that we sing remind us of the importance of nearness to God. Nearer, my God, to thee. This song's fairly well known for a couple of different reasons. One of the main reasons that many people think of this song is that it is reported or alleged to be the song that the ship's band was playing as the Titanic sank in 1912. There are some letters, some documents that people wrote down, diary entries and so forth of the survivors, and they wrote about hearing the band in the final moments as they rowed away from that precious few people who were able to get into the lifeboats and escape from the sinking of that great ship. They said they heard the band playing, Nearer, My God, to Thee. Well, that's a good story, but it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with us here tonight, does it? This song, though, is a song that it was written in about 1903 by a woman by the name of Sarah Adams. In fact, she wrote several songs that you and I are familiar with. Just take my word for it. She wrote two or three songs that I could call the name of. If I could call their name, you would recognize them immediately. They're songs that we sing quite a bit. In all, she wrote over 1,000 songs, but only a few of them are ones that we're really familiar with. But there is one phrase in this song that sticks in my mind, especially as we consider this subject, and it's highlighted there in the third staff down. The third line, the last verse. Still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to thee. Still. We use that manner of speaking even yet today. We say, well, you know, there were a lot of things that caused problems and got in my way, but still I was able to make it to my destination, or or you were not very good to me, but still I tried to be kind to you. We use that phrase a lot, don't we? And as the song kind of takes us through some of the things that come our way, that phrase, still, in other words, no matter what, whatever else may come, whatever life may bring to us, still, all my song shall be nearer my God to thee. Well, that's what James is telling us there in James chapter 4 and verse 8. The importance of being nearer to God, especially in the sense of the realities of this life. Now, there's another song that I think even works better to remind us of how important all of this is. It's the little song, Near to the Heart of God. This song was written about 1903 by a Presbyterian minister by the name of Cleland McAfee. Mr. McAfee had a brother. His brother's name was Howard. And in 1903, Howard's two infant daughters died within 24 hours of each other with diphtheria. Because of the nature of that particular disease and the practices of that time and so forth, it was necessary to quarantine the house and the parents. And so Howard McAfee and his wife could not even attend the double funeral that Howard's brother Cleland preached for those two little girls. The story goes that the night before the funeral, Mr. Cleland McAfee, the preacher, the uncle of the two little girls who died, sat up almost all night long, and he wrote both the words and the music to this song that night. And the next day, because his brother and sister-in-law had to stay in the house and no one could go in, they could not come to the funeral, he stood in their yard near an open window and he sang this newly written song to them. Now, that's a touching story, and I have no reason to doubt the truth of what I've just told you. It's a part of the record of this song. But you know, this is a great song. It's a song that was born out of a tragedy. And because of that, it's the kind of song, it's the kind of message, it's the kind of writing that really works well to help us in times of tragedy. I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like for us to sing this song. And then we'll take just a very few minutes. I was joking about the 45-minute sermon. Take just a few minutes to look at some highlights here. Danny, I'm going to let you change the slides during the song, and I'll take back over the control after we sing this song.
There is a place of Jesus.
The first verse says, there is a place of quiet rest. The unique thing about this song is that it characterizes the nearness to God as a place, as a location. There is a place of quiet rest. Can you imagine writing those words on the night before having to preach the funeral for two little girls? And having a family connection. I've preached a lot of funerals. And in my experience, and I think Brother David Bass would agree with me in this, there is no such thing as a completely easy funeral. There are some good things and there are some bad things, especially from the preacher's standpoint. There are some people that I have said, you know, this person made it so easy for me to preach their funeral because all I had to do was remind us all of the things that they had done and how wonderful they had lived. And then there are some folks that I've preached a lot of funerals for people that I was really at a loss as to what to say and had to work really hard not to preach a hard sermon toward the survivors. And you know, that just goes with the territory. That's just part of it. But it's especially difficult from the standpoint of trying to comfort those who are left here on the earth, even though we know that nobody is any safer in death than little infant children. It's the mama and the daddy that need our every effort. And I appreciate so very much the words of this song from that angle, from that standpoint, this place of quiet rest, a place where sin cannot molest. That's what sin does. Whether it's molesting us through sickness and illness and death, or whether it's molesting us through the attitudes and the so forth that people express to us. I mean, there are 1,000 different ways that sin molests us. This is a place where sin cannot molest, where sin is ineffective near to the heart of God. The second verse says, I'm sorry, I'm pointing at the one I'm looking at. I know you're looking at the one behind me. The second verse says there's a place of comfort sweet, a place where we, our Savior, meet. Just stands to reason, doesn't it, that wherever God is, there we find our Savior. Wherever God is, wherever the Father is, there's the Son. This place of comfort, sweet, where we, our Savior, meet. It's near to the heart of God. The third verse says there's a place of full release. We all need release at times. There have been some occasions when I felt like most anything would be release from what I've dealt with. And yet I've had a really blessed life. I know I'm talking to some people who've been through some really tough times. And you understand as well as I do the concept of the place of full release where all is joy and peace. There's only one place where that is here on this earth, and that's near to the heart of God. And that's why James tells us, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. You can try everything else you want to. You can get, I bet I get 1,000 emails every 24 hours advertising something. You say, well, you need to block those folks. That's true, I do, but I think maybe that would take longer than just deleting them. There are all kinds of offers and ideas and proposals out there that promise to give us release and relief from everything from, well, you name it. But there's only one thing that gives us true, full release. And that's to be near to the heart of God. And so, we need to draw near to God. Only then will He draw near to us. In the ultimate sense of giving us our greatest blessings, providing our most enormous needs, providing for our most enormous needs, drawing near to God is the only solution to that problem. Now, I think I told you last Sunday night that we had only one more lesson in this series, but I miscounted. We've got one more Sunday night that we're going to dedicate to this subject of drawing near to God. And so I would invite you to think and study and contemplate this subject during the next week, and we'll try to pull everything together that we've learned and see once again the importance of drawing near to God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.